Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird. Bird is a winner.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and you are listening to episode number 80. This week, I sit down with Genevieve Rice, the originator and organizer of the Bird City Comedy Festival. That event is taking place all over the Phoenix area this coming weekend, April 8th, 9th, and 10th, featuring some extremely talented and funny headliners, Emily Heller, Beth Stelling, and the great Dana Gould. They will be the anchors in this festival that is also supported by dozens and dozens of comics, comedians, from around the country, coming in from the East Coast, throughout the Southwest, and well, all over the place. Genevieve has taken it upon herself to organize this festival. It's taken her a couple of years after participating in several other similar festivals around the country, and she has made it happen. So let's listen in on how she did that, what her origins are, how she came upon the comedy scene, and what she has planned in the future. So sit back and enjoy. All the information on Bird City is at birdcitycomedyfestival.com, including ways to get not only a single event, full day, or even full festival passes. Very reasonably priced. Again, headliners Emily Heller, Beth Stelling, and Dana Gould, all at the Bird City Comedy Festival this coming weekend, April 8th, 9th, and 10th. And many, many more comics, including past guests of this show, Billy O'Connor, who will be featuring at one of the events. Genevieve and her partner in crime, Mr. Anthony Decimito, will be doing a live performance of their podcast based on the Golden Girls. We'll talk about that. It's Thank You for Being a Podcast. So check that out. I believe that's Sunday afternoon. All the venues, all the locations, and the times are at birdcitycomedyfestival.com. Today's episode was recorded at Bootleggers in Arizona. Great spot to eat and drink. We sat back and had a good time there. At bootleggersaz.com is where you can find information about that. So sit back and enjoy our talk with Genevieve Rice of the Bird City Comedy Festival at birdcitycomedyfestival.com. Obviously, we want to talk about Bird City. It's a huge project. I wasn't aware it was the first festival here. Is that correct?
It's the first comedy festival
in Phoenix?
It's the first stand-up comedy festival in Phoenix. There's been an improv festival going on for years. The Phoenix Improv Festival is actually the weekend after next, the April 15th.
Yeah.
And
Has that been going on for a while?
That's been going on for about 15 years.
Oh, that's pretty established.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to the comedy. We'll get to the Bird City at birdcitycomedyfestival.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. And we, like I said, it's we kind of go all over the place here, but I want to talk a little bit about just how you ended up out here. Were you Oklahoma? Is that if I look at your notations right?
Yeah.
What you grew up there?
Yeah, I basically wasn't born. I was actually born in Alaska. And
what was in Alaska?
My parents were stationed up there.
Oh, service family?
Yeah, they were basically like my parents. My dad was in the army, and my mom was a civil servant, and they both worked in the theater department.
On base?
Yeah.
So performing's in your blood, huh? Now, civil servant. What did mom do?
Basically, she worked in the art department. There was like an arts and crafts center on the base.
Was she active military or was she,
no, she wasn't.
Like an outside?
She was like an outsider. Actually, my parents met in Lawton, Oklahoma. They both worked in the art department and they would illustrate like weapons manuals.
Like, no, I was waiting for, like, you know, kids' books or something, but no weapons manual.
Nope.
Well, that is kids' books for Arizona.
So. Pretty much.
You want to get something to eat? Feel free,
let's
order away.
See. I think I'm going to get.
And we can do a quick little commercial for Bootleggers.
Yeah.
Just read off the menu. That'll be their ad.
I would like to get. I was going to get the veggie tacos, but I feel like because it's a barbecue place, I should get some meat tacos. So I think I'm going to do. I think I'm going to do the brisket tacos.
Brisket tacos?
Yeah.
No, that sounds good, but. Let's try the pork okay. belly taco.
Pork belly?
Sure, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, those are good.
So you said this is your neighborhood bar? How often is the neighborhood in here?
Pretty often. Yeah. Yeah.
Getting
it's
there nice and close. Huh? Gotta be right.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. Basically, like, I mean, my husband and I moved here about 2 years ago to this neighborhood. And we found this place before we found, like, the local hospital. So
gotta get your priorities right. This is, I like this spot. It looks nice. It's, you know, got a little
it's
rustic
cool.
look mm-hmm. to it, and we'll know how the food is in a minute. But
oh, it's awesome.
You made the suggestion, so I'm sure it's great.
We've had everything on the menu.
My regular, not regular. I mean, I don't hang out in bars all the time, but where I feel most comfortable are the little neighborhood, little hole in the wall, beer in a bump kind of places.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the little bars I grew up going into way back when. But the ones that are not real well lit, the seedier ones. So you were born in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and dad both performance and artistic folks.
Yeah,
brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. I have a younger sister. And she still lives in Oklahoma with the rest of my family. Yeah.
So just the two of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it artistic as well? Performer, your sister? What?
Yeah, she's a really good artist.
Nice.
Yeah. So a lot better. All my parents are, like, much better artists and painters and drawers than I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you even as a kid, like, kind of geared towards the performing art type things? Was that your goal as a youngster?
Actually, no. Like, I'm kind of was, like, more of, like, a behind the scenes. Like, I got involved in, like, stagecraft and stuff like that. And I don't know. I kind of almost, like, fell into performing by accident.
Wait, in school or after?
Way after. I started doing comedy when I was 26.
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
And there,
you mind me asking, how old are you? Do you mind me asking?
I'm 34.
Okay, I would have guessed you to be about 26 now, 26, 27 now.
Well, you're very kind. No.
So you're not hanging out in bars as much as you need to then?
No.
You got
to
start looking your age.
No, I started performing when I was 26, and there really wasn't much of a scene in Oklahoma. We have, like, one small club in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And a couple of my friends started, like, an open mic. And one day I was like, I'll just go up and I'll do 5 minutes just so I can say that I've done stand-up comedy. Because I love stand-up comedy. I've listened to it, you know, all the time. Like, when I was a kid and, like, I used to seek it out. I used to watch. I kind of grew up during the comedy boom.
Yeah.
So I'd watch, like, Evening at the Improv and Caroline's and just anything I can get my hands on.
It's amazing seeing some of those old clips and stuff on YouTube now. Especially the performers who have really broke out,
mm-hmm.
and you see them when they were in their, you know, some late teens, early 20s, some old Louis C.K. bits when he had hair. Just the way they've evolved as performers and writers and stuff is amazing. Some of those old ones, the sport coats with the sleeves rolled up was the standard. That was a requirement of every male comic to have at some point or another.
I saw an old clip of Dana Gould, who's one of the headliners at our festival. It was from the Paul Bravenza show, and I think it was like 1989 or 1990. And he looks like a kid.
He was. Didn't he start when he was like 16?
He started when he was like 18.
Yeah. Real youngster.
He started the year I was born, I think.
Okay, count back. You're 36, you said?
I'm 34.
34, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. I just add first. I tell you how young you look, and then I add 2 years to your life. So, what year were you born?
I was born 82.
82. Okay, mm-hmm. My high school days. I saw Dana Gould at, I want to say, the Holy City Zoo. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I grew up in the East Bay. Mm-hmm. And in high school and after, I graduated in 84, we used to go hang out at the club, at the comedy clubs. And there were, you didn't just have the Holy City Zoo, the Punchline. There were, every bar back then had a comedy night. Not open mics. They were set comedy nights. Bobby Slate, and I'd see him at a Mexican restaurant. You know, Casa Carlitos was the restaurant at the mall where I grew up. And they had a rotating list of headliners coming through. Every single town had two or three bars, restaurants that would do comedy nights. Brian Copeland, who's do you know Brian's work at all? He was a stand-up through the 80s, 90s, and still is.
Yeah.
But he hosts some radio programs in San Francisco, and he's done some one-man plays, one-man shows and stuff. He's written several books. Extremely talented. And he grew up down the road from us. So it was a real comedy-rich area growing up. And I saw Dana Gould, I think it was at the Holy City Zoo, and just hilarious. And I'm looking forward to seeing him next Sunday. Is that so? It'll be a week from yesterday. This is going up Monday.
Yeah,
a little over a week from when we're recording this. But he's got a really interesting story in his struggles on stage, and I think his big meltdown was actually at the Holy City, not the night I was there, but.
I think it was Holy City or maybe Punchline or something.
When he just walked off stage. I'm pretty sure it was Holy City. That they had the whole checkered motif going there. I remember that. But back to you. What was your first open mic like when you went up? Do you remember?
It was magical.
Yeah.
And I honestly,
how'd you do?
I did really well. And I think a lot of people, I think that's really common for most comics. I think a lot of people do really well their first time.
Yeah.
And I just kind of expected to do it and, you know, have fun and that's it. And I was just like, God, I want to come back next week and the week after that.
And did you just make it a regular thing for you?
Yeah, there was a weekly night at Othello's, which is an Italian restaurant in Norman, Oklahoma. And they had this Mike, and you could do, I think, up to 10 minutes, which is insane.
That's a huge step for open mics. Usually open mic, like a 3-minute is a pretty good stretch when you're first couple times out. So 5's pretty solid.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, I mean, I think when you're first starting out, like, I think 5 minutes is, I mean, I think a lot of people have 5 minutes in them, just kind of ready to go. And then
in the open mics, it's typically other folks trying it for the first time. So it's often a pretty welcoming audience because they're in the same boat you are, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes. Depends. There's a lot of open mics where comedy just happens at people.
Some guy trying to shoot pool and a comedy show breaks out.
I think sometimes I see that where, like, people have shown up to a bar and they want to blow off some steam or something like that, and there's an open mic happening and they are not having it.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel for them a little bit, like, just because they're probably wanting to talk with their friends. You know, and they may not want to
watch
move.
A game, and then all of a sudden the TVs are turned off.
Yes. So I always try to like understand that if I'm at a place like an open mic like that, like, okay, let's just be courteous, you know?
Yeah. And a lot of, I'm sure a lot of that in recent years, because there were some nightmare stories of that over the decades. But now with social media and the way to promote shows like that, you can kind of get the word out a little better than hanging a flyer. So hopefully folks realize, you know, they can kind of get a head up of what's happening at the neighborhood joint before they go in. So that's nice.
Yeah. Yelp helps with that, stuff like that. Yeah.
Now, when did you guys get out here to Phoenix area, Arizona?
I moved out here 2008.
When did you start performing?
2007.
So about a year into it, and you came out. What brought you guys out here? Was that you and your husband came out together?
No,
were you
that
married
was
at the time?
I wasn't. I did have a boyfriend that lived out here, and we got engaged, and I moved out here, and then we broke up.
Oh, so the boyfriend didn't transition to the husband, huh?
Yeah, no.
Now, were you performing pretty strong, pretty regular, or was it hit and miss when you moved out?
I basically was performing maybe about once a week.
Oh, nice.
And so I moved out here, and it's always hard to get back and get into a scene at first. And, like, I was, there wasn't quite, like, now that, like, if you're a comic, there's, like, a Facebook network.
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, you could just go, if you've done comedy once or twice, maybe, you meet all these comedians online, and they tell you where the mics are.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case.
What was the scene like then? Because that's one of the things that really caught me by surprise when I moved out. And I moved out here in 04, mm-hmm. but I didn't start working with radio or the podcast until about 3 years ago. And mm-hmm. I was really surprised at how strong the scene was. But then again, that's, you know, 14. What was it like in 08 when you came out here?
It was much smaller.
Slide them up here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Got our tacos.
Yeah.
It was definitely, like, it was much smaller. There really weren't many open mics. There were a lot of booked mics. So you had to kind of, like, know people. I mean, and it's easy enough to get stage time, like, but you have to do it, like, once or twice.
Yeah.
And then people get to know you, and they're like, oh, okay, you're funny. You're funny, you're cool. And
what were the clubs out here? Because the Tempe mm-hmm. Improv has been around for a while. They were at a different location, if I'm not mistaken.
It was the same location, but different owners.
Okay.
Basically, like, there's Tempe Improv. There was a Comedy Spot. In Old Town Scottsdale.
Now, is that the same location it's at now?
Mm-hmm.
How long has that been? That's been there for a while?
I think that's been there for like 10, 15 years.
Oh, nice. It's a neat little club. Really small, but it's neat.
It's
inside.
Yeah. But basically, and then there was a weekly show called Hidden House that had been going on for a long time.
Now, is that the rotating? Is it all one set location or no?
That one was just like it's like a bar in kind of central Phoenix, and Steve Maxwell and Kirk Buckout ran it for a long time.
Thanks.
And unfortunately, it closed.
Huh.
The Hidden House closed down about 2 years ago, and then they had someone else buy it, and the person who bought it was very odd. Like
an odd bar owner?
I know, that's right?
I don't understand that concept.
Yeah. So, and like, apparently, like, he didn't want to. It was like the comedy was in a separate room from the big bar.
Yeah.
Which is what you want. It was like this little intimate room, and you could fit maybe like 50 to 70 people there.
Nice.
And it had its own bar, and they would open it up just for the comedy show. And, it became a thing where, like, every week it was a different bartender.
Hmm.
Like, and of varying quality. Yeah.
Not and, like here at Bootleggers, where they're top-notch professionals.
They're great, yeah. Yeah, it was very strange. Yeah.
Well, we'll drop an ad in right here and pause it, and that way you can eat. I'm not chewing the mic because I don't know. I don't mind it, but you might. Hey, we're going to take a quick little break here to remind you that this week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Use the Audible link at milehighshow.com to sign up for your free offer. Audible.com has over 180,000 audio titles, and by using the code at checkout MileHigh, again, Mile High is the code you use at checkout. You get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial. Now, many, many titles to choose from there. Since today we're talking about comedy, how about Do You Talk Funny? 7 Comedy Habits to Become a Better and Funnier Public Speaker. That is by David Nihil, and he also reads that. It's narrated by him. Whether you want to get into comedy, whether you just want to be more confident in speaking publicly, maybe at your job, in sales or presentations, this is a way you can build your confidence. Do You Talk Funny? Available for free at audible.com by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. You get your free audio download as well as a 30-day free trial. Guess what? At the end of that 30 days, you don't want to stick around. No problem. No harm. No foul. No charge. You are easily released, and you do not have to return that audio download that you get for free. So use the Audible link at milehighshow.com and the offer code MILEHIGH at checkout. Now, let's get back to our talk with Genevieve Rice from Bootleggers in Phoenix, Arizona.
Might as well include some of this. Our second sponsor of the day is, now I got to make sure I'm still working.
Yeah, which hotel?
I get to be a big worry ward. I always got, that's what, I'm not ignoring you. I'm always looking down to make
it's
recording.
All right.
Nice and snug.
Okay.
But yeah, our second sponsor for today, aside from Bootleggers, is that what it is?
Bootleggers, yeah.
Excellent pork. What did I get?
You got the pork belly tacos. I got the brisket tacos.
Brisket. They were excellent. Yeah. Excellent. I'm coming back here for sure.
Get the nacho board or the bacon board.
Today I'm limiting myself to lemonade and water. But there is a bar I could see from here. And after last night, I probably should have ordered a pitcher of Jack Daniels.
Oh, boy.
Our second sponsor of the day is the Knights Inn on Main and Country Club in Mesa.
Oh, it's, really?
It's as close as close to camping as you can get. The dirt floor was just like camping. The sound of a running creek or a brook that you enjoy when you're out camping.
Did you start a fire in your room?
No, didn't have to, because the guy outside my window smoking crack kept the. The warmth coming, the sound of wildlife right outside of my tent.
It screaming. Was,
like we were saying off mic, Wi-Fi's not a huge deal breaker, but I needed to do some work and log in and stuff. No, the Wi-Fi didn't work. I tried tapping into the motel next door, but it was a little out of range. So I did have to go send a couple of emails that I couldn't do from my phone, so I walked across the parking lot with my laptop at about 2 o'clock this morning to send an email.
Oh no!
And that was an adventure in itself.
You couldn't do the personal hotspot
Through my phone? No, I can't. And that that brings up the third and fourth problem. I got a brand new phone yesterday.
Oh wow!
And I still don't know how to use it. So I'm trying to monkey with stuff, and it didn't work.
Oh, they're good.
Excellent, excellent. I'm good. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good.
So, it was just a mess. The Wi-Fi wasn't working. Like I said, it wasn't a deal breaker, but I needed to get some things done, and that was the whole plan with staying down here a couple of nights in the Phoenix area. I wanted to use this afternoon to get some work done, and I can't do it. So I figured, no big deal. I'll find somewhere tomorrow. I need to charge my phone, obviously. I need to charge my laptop. 7-8 outlets in the room. One works, and the TV was in it. The TV was plugged into it. So
it was either
charge my phone or watch TV. So I had to charge my phone last night. But it was okay because I was able to hear lots of entertainment coming from the room next door. That was okay. And I didn't even have to pay for the pay-per-view to hear what I was hearing. I switched over my phone yesterday from Sprint, which I've had for like 15 years, to that new Google service, the Google Fi.
Oh, really?
It's dirt cheap, $20 a month, and then like $10 for every gig of service. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it a shot, but you have to use specific phones.
Yeah.
I'm a knucklehead, so I can't, it takes me forever to figure stuff out. So I'm trying to figure it out in the room last night. I couldn't figure out just how to arrange stuff. But the phone was working, so it was all right. This morning, I go to make a phone call my wife, and it says phone hasn't been activated yet. It was working yesterday, but it's not working today.
Oh no.
And normally when stuff like that happens, you maybe not be able to call out, but you can at least call customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't call anywhere.
Oh,
so anyway,
man.
It finally got working anyway. But so it's just, you know, it kind of reinforces to me how dependent I've got on something 20 years ago I didn't know existed. And now I can't do without it. But I was able to get text and email, but I couldn't make a phone call. So on the way over here, I'm texting and emailing my wife, going, I'm ready to drive off a cliff. I'm about ready to throw this phone out the window. And it was just, and then when I parked here, I don't know, half hour or so before you got here, just to kind of decompress, I was like, I recently, you know, 20 years ago, I didn't need this stuff, and now I can't live without it.
Yeah, I my car charger has kind of went out recently. But it didn't go out, like, solidly. It would, like, work sometimes and not other times. It was like, if my phone was at a certain angle, it wouldn't work. And so...
So you can only drive uphill.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't drive west.
There's nothing out there anyway.
Yeah,
the only thing
right.
out west is California. I ran away from there. Well, they ran me out, but ran away, ran out. Same difference. So, now that we've got our fuel in, the excellent tacos here at Bootleggers, what was the scene like when you got out here? You were mentioning the challenges of finding mic time.
Yeah, it was really wasn't very many open mics, and it was a lot smaller. And there also weren't very many women on the scene. I was... maybe one of a few.
Now, the ones you started with, the few that were there, are they mm-hmm. still around? Are some
yeah.
names still out there? Who was blazing the trail when you got out here?
Jill Bryan.
Yes.
I think Jill Bryan had just started, maybe, or maybe she'd been doing it like a couple of years, and she had a show at Bongo's down in Chandler. I remember, I think that was the first mic I ever did in the Phoenix area was Bongo's. Yeah. And I did well. It was rough, though.
Why? What was Bongo's like? Is it?
It was just a...
I'm picturing a tiki bar, but I just...
It was a very good pizza bar, but it was, like, very narrow. It was like, this narrow bar, and it was narrow and long,
yeah.
which can be hard for comedy, I think. But I did it a couple times, and I think the first time I did it, I did really well. And the second time I did it, there was a guy that came and brought 50 people. He brought 50, and he was like this young college guy, and I think he read his set. I think he actually wrote his set down on a piece of paper and read it for all of his friends who were all heavily on drugs. And so, basically, like, they all loved him.
Yeah.
They all paid attention. They were coherent for him, and the rest of us couldn't...
Yeah.
Couldn't give less of a... And, yeah, it was... can we curse on this?
Nah. Yeah, I'll bleep
it. Okay. All right, sorry.
We get the general gist of it. Yeah, I try and keep... I forgot to tell you that. I try and keep it radio-friendly, mainly because of where I record.
Okay.
I don't want restaurant owners to, because I go to like coffee shops. The bars and stuff, they don't care. But sometimes when I go in to set up at like a, you know, neighborhood coffee shop or something like that, they're like, hey, do we got to separate you from the rest of the, the rest of the books? Like, nah. No big deal, though. So Jill has really, really become mm-hmm. a mainstay here in the Valley and does some real good shows. Is she still doing? She had like a regular Tuesday night that she was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dos Gringos. Yeah.
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 Still going strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Ronnie D had been doing it a couple of years, and she's in the festival.
Okay.
And she's really great. She took a little bit of a break, and now she's back full force.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the festival that is coming up. This being.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever date today is, Monday.
April 1st?
No, that's today. No. So this will be Monday. the festival starts 8?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it starts
10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Friday night, this coming Friday, spread out throughout the valley. You got how many performers participating?
We've got about a little over 60, counting like all the improv groups. Yeah. We've got about 50 stand-ups, and then we've got some improv groups as well,
nice.
Improv and sketch.
And the you've got a few, I don't like festival headliners.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the details on those specific shows with Beth and Dana.
Mm-hmm.
Dates. Go ahead. Tell us where and when for those.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got Emily Heller at 7:30. That's at the Renaissance. In our basically, we have a nice little ballroom. So, and then we've got Beth Stelling at 9:00 on Saturday, and that's at Last Exit Live. And then we've got Dana Gould on Sunday, the last night of the festival, at the press room at 9:00.
And everything's available at BirdCityComedyFestival.com,
mm-hmm.
correct? BirdCityComedyFestival.com.
Yes.
When did you start? Now, obviously you didn't do this on your own, but you are one of the organizers. Who else is, or did you do it on your own?
Is this a
one-woman shop?
Here? I did it most, basically it was my idea, but I had a lot of help. Like, mm-hmm. basically, like, I've had a bunch of people from the scene helping me.
Who's been the main players that have helped you get this going?
I've had a lot of help from Anthony DiSemito,
your
of course.
Partner in crime,
yes.
on the podcast.
Yes, we have a podcast called Thank You for Being a Podcast,
and we'll talk about that too.
Yeah, he's basically my comedy husband.
How does your actual husband feel about that?
Oh yeah,
he's one. Anthony's one of the family, huh?
Pretty much, like
good. Good.
Anthony and I are kind of more like I don't know, like we're like, if I'm his wife, he's like my comedy raccoon, you know. Like
he is,
yeah.
Really, well, both of you are. I got a chance to see at Lizards a couple months back, both you and Anthony. It just very, very good sets, and he is just he's a dynamo up there.
Yeah, he's
really
wonderful.
So,
Leslie Barton helped out quite a bit. Michael Palladino and Michael Paul Cohn. Basically, they run Bird City Radio, which is the festival podcast.
Nice, nice.
There's some great interviews on there with me and Leslie. And
links on there on Bird City Comedy mm-hmm. Festival as well? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when did you start planning? When did this start taking root in your imagination to make sure that it mm-hmm. came to fruition? When did that start?
Well, I've been kicking around the idea for a couple years. I've been to a couple festivals like Riot LA and then Beast Village in Des Moines and Scruffy City in Knoxville.
Do some traveling.
Yeah.
Performing and observing or both?
Performing,
nice.
And performing and observing, really, yeah, both.
Yeah.
And so I got involved with Big Pine Comedy Festival in Flagstaff.
Ryan
Stalder. Yeah. Who's also been a big help for this as well.
This past Bird City was at October, I believe it was?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the first go-around of it?
Yeah, that was the first one. And then I basically said, yeah, I think I'd like to do a comedy festival in the spring in Phoenix. And I'm like, should I do it this spring or next?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if I'm doing it this spring, I have to start now. So,
yeah.
I think, well, yeah, I'll take another one.
Okay. I think she's, you better check her purse. I think she's dosing it a little bit. You know what? I'm good. Thank you. So getting that it seems like such a huge undertaking. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things you had to go through? How did you get this going? How did you get it started?
Well, I mean, I really helped out a lot with Big Pine, so I had an idea of what I needed to do. So I just got a website together and,
and just hit the ground running, huh?
Pretty much. Got our submission form and submission team up and just kind of did a little bit every day. I mean, I had Jason Gonzalez of Jay Gonzo Designs made our logo, and it looks fantastic.
Nice. Yeah,
yeah,
it does. And those posters, those flyers that are swinging around on social media.
That's and that's Rico Lee. He made he designed those posters too.
Yeah, I saw that. Was that a new design you put up the other day, or had that been out?
That's a new design. Okay. Yeah. So
that looked really good. And then links to the social media pages for Bird City Comedy Festival are right there at Bird City.
And we're basically Bird City Comedy on just about every network you can think of.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, what the submissions when they started coming in, you said you were able to narrow it down to, what did you say, about 60 in total?
Yeah, about 60. We had about 300.
Nice. Now, how was that process done? How did you go about making the selections? Was it you? Was it a committee?
We had a committee of five people, and it was a few Phoenix comedians. We had one Tucson comedian, and one of them was a friend from Oklahoma.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What were some of the things you were looking for? Were you looking for folks that had already been well-established? Were you just going strictly on content? Were there names you were hoping were going to submit? What was the procedure there for you?
Well, some of the people that we had submit, like, we kind of had a mix of people that we knew, Arizona comedians, and people from all over the country.
Yeah.
So I'd say about half the comedians are from Arizona, and the rest are from other places like L.A. or New York or Des Moines or Chicago or Portland.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Sorry about that.
No,
but there are some names that are familiar to, obviously, the biggies, the three major headliners that are coming in, are very well known across the country. But there's a good core of folks that are familiar to the Arizona and the Phoenix comedy scene. Billy O'Connor being one.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is just hilarious.
He's great.
Several others in there. I think Rob's in there as well.
Rob, maybe, yeah.
Ewan,
Rob,
and Anthony. Were there any names out there, or does anybody come to mind right now that you were unaware of that just are you're really looking forward to getting people to see? Were there any gems in there that were maybe not as well known or not known to the Arizona scene?
I'd say quite a few.
Anybody pop up that you know?
I
was going to put you on the spot.
I'm pretty excited about Danny LaBelle. He's from New York.
Nice.
He applied, and I had heard him on This American Life a couple years ago. He has this great story about how he kind of adopted a rooster with these, I think, Mexican gangsters.
Oh, no, I know that story. Yeah. Was that a repost of like a Moth?
I think so.
Something?
I think it was recorded at the Moth. And I was like, God, that name sounds so familiar. And I'm like, and I go went back and listened to that story, and I'm like,
yeah,
oh my God.
I know that story from NPR. That is a great one. Nice.
Yeah. But just so many people that I'm excited about that. I mean, a lot of the people, so even the people that I know that maybe people don't know in Arizona, we're bringing out like Patrick Hasty and Brandon Ream are people.
I'm not familiar with those, so I'm looking forward
to
seeing
them. They're two guys that I met at Beast Village, and they've been out in New York for a couple of years.
Nice.
And they're both just doing lovely things. And then... Sophia Alexandria and Valerie Tosi are two female comics out of LA, and they're both hilarious on social media. They both have great Twitter accounts. We have so many good social media Twitter accounts to follow.
Nice. It sounds like you've got a great representation from across the country, so it's going to be a good mix. And then, like you said, you've got some improv groups mixed in there as some music with
Mishka Shabali, and Chris True is from the New Movement, which has theaters in Austin and in New Orleans, and they run Hell Yes Fest, and they also, I believe, they help book for Moon Tower in Austin. Or they have a hand in it somehow. But
I tell you, for the inaugural festival, and I'm assuming and hoping this will be an annual event in Phoenix. Is that the plan going
forward?
I hope so. Okay. It sounds like you have gotten a huge undertaking and succeeded in that. What a great list of names and venues.
We'll see how I feel in a week. But.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I mean, not to diminish the production and the night of the shows and everything, mm-hmm. but at this point, it's up to the comics and the fans to come in. And other than that, it's grab a mic and listen to a show. It seems like, anyway. And again, I don't want to diminish what you guys are going to have to go through in this coming week and during the show itself. But just to get to this point is huge. Now, how did you go about tapping into Beth and Dana? And I'm sorry, the first one you mentioned?
And Emily Heller.
Emily, yeah. I'm sorry. How did you go about contacting them and securing that up?
Basically, contacting agents. I actually know Dana. I was on the Dana Gould Hour.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. I was on an episode about a year ago. So, I performed with him. He's a lovely man. Yeah. So, yeah.
I have heard that about, like I said, I've seen him perform a couple of times live, but in listening to podcasts and interviews and things, mm-hmm. he is just regarded as one of the nicest guys in the industry.
He is
so
very sweet.
I'm really looking forward to seeing him perform now.
And
go ahead.
I was familiar with I'd seen Emily Heller and I've seen Beth, and basically just contacted their agents and worked something out.
Nice. What a great! It's a good testament, one, to your mm-hmm. your initiative and the planning that you've done, but it's also shows that everybody at every level is in the industry is looking for ways to showcase talent.
Yeah,
and that's a very, very nice thing to see, because in some industries that's not the case. It's like, well, we're here. You know, call us in a few years after you get this thing up and running, and let's see how you do.
Well, there's that.
Sometimes it's like that in the music business.
And, you know, to be honest, it's a little bit like that. Yeah. You there's a little bit of proving yourself. There's you know, I mean, I was definitely told by agents, like, this is a first year festival. It's a little bit of a risk. So,
well,
which is fine.
Not
I mean,
if we we pack out those rooms, and they're going to be calling you next year to get on Bird City 2 or however you're going to build that. Now, one of the big ways that people are, like you had mentioned earlier, there was I witnessed the big comedy boom in the 80s. There's another resurgence of it coming up now. It seems like about every 10 years or so, the 90s had a really mm-hmm. nice one. Right now, it seems to be really growing strong. And I'm sure you agree, social media, the internet, podcasting is a huge reason for that, in my opinion anyway.
I mean, I think people just have all sorts of ways to create an audience. I mean, for me, like, being on Twitter, like, really helped grow my audience, and it really helped me be a better writer.
Yeah.
It, like, keeps you sharp, because you're coming up with jokes every day.
Yeah.
And honestly, when we did the podcast, we started our Thank You for Being a Podcast, the Golden Girls podcast.
That was my easy way to slide into that.
Good job. we started that about a year and a half ago. And
you're up. I looked at let's say, like, 79 or so episodes, 78, 79, something like that.
I think so, yeah.
Doing it every week.
We've done it every week. We have not missed one week.
Okay, what is it again? Give the full name and where folks can find it.
Okay, Thank You for Being a Podcast. And we're on Libsyn. It's the website is thankyouforbeingapodcast.libsyn.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Facebook, and it's / Thank You for Being a Podcast. We're TiffBap on Twitter and TiffBap on Instagram. So.
And through iTunes, mm-hmm. what other formats?
iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, basically any place.
Wherever you can get podcasts, you can get it. Now, do you have your own website as well?
I do. My website is disappointing. So.
I was looking at Anthony's earlier, and he's got a link directly to the podcast as well.
Yeah.
Now, when did you meet up with him? How did that, was it just through the clubs, hitting the mics?
Yeah, pretty much through the scene. He started about 2010.
Gotcha. So you've been out here a couple of years. And now, why, what, personally, and we'll see if you get up and walk out on me right now. Personally, I wasn't a big fan of the show, The Golden Girls. It wasn't my...
This is over.
Why did you start the podcast? What was the...
Well, Anthony was actually... He was born in Mexico.
Yeah.
And he came to America when he was 10. And he actually learned English from watching shows.
By watching TV.
Yeah, from watching, The Golden Girls and Frasier and stuff like that. And also, and I grew up watching it when I was a kid. And this is something we've talked about a lot on the podcast, about how when you're just a kid, you just watch kind of anything, really. So,
what was the years that was on? I don't remember.
It would have been 85 through 92.
And that explains why. For me, in the mid-80s, I didn't really see a TV much.
Yeah.
Unless it was at a bar watching a game.
I mean, that's something we...
I have a whole... I have a whole block of years that I don't remember much of anything, but I have a whole block of years, about 15 years, 10, 15 years, where there's no pop culture references at all that I can relate to.
Yeah.
Because for various reasons, and that's a whole other podcast I need to do with a therapist or something. But I have a good buddy of mine who, that is his favorite show. He used to sit and watch it with his, he's a little younger than me, probably about your age. He used to sit and watch it with his grandmother.
Yeah, and that's
and
what he
loves it. I've tagged him a couple of times on your guys' posts, and I know he's listened to a few episodes. But he, Steve Tavares, who listens to this show as well, he has a podcast in the Bay Area, the East Bay Citizens Show. It's a political.
Oh.
He's a journalist there, and he writes political news. But he is a huge, huge Golden Girls fan. So it never resonated with me. Again, I didn't watch it, but it just seemed like a very unique choice to base a podcast around.
Well, what we kind of like about it is a lot of people, I mean, we've had people that are big fans. We've had people that have not seen an episode. We've had people that actively do not like the show. And it kind of, what I like about it is it kind of lends itself to all of that.
So what's the format of the show? What do you guys do?
Basically, we watch the episode beforehand, and then we discuss it. We kind of recap it, and we kind of discuss it, and we kind of share, crazy theories. And, it's kind of fun, because I'd say, Anthony and I are fans, but we can make fun of the show.
Yeah.
And, if someone, there's plenty to make fun of.
That's
and
a
it's,
true
it's,
appreciation of the art form, too, is because you can love it and critique it and have fun with it at the same time.
Because there are lots of podcasts about shows that aren't good. Yeah. Basically there is a Saved by the Bell podcast for a long time, and that is a terrible show.
That was right in my blackout years. So I don't know that one either.
I that was one of the first shows I watched when I was a kid that I was like, I think this is bad. It was
9-year-old critic.
My first inkling, I'm probably wasting my time watching this. And I don't know. We didn't want to do a podcast where we're watching something we didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
So, or I don't know.
So the affection for the show is genuine.
Yes.
You're there. This is not an ironic thing. That's great to hear.
All the cast is they're all phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to watch them, and I mean watch them from week to week. And the writing is quite good, and it gets even better as you go on. Right now we're kind of in the thick of the fourth season, and it's a marked difference between the first season and the fourth season.
All right, I'm gonna load up my phone. Thank you for being a podcast, and you've got the cream of the crop for the local comedy scene as guests on there.
Yeah, we've had, we have mostly comedians on, but we've had a lot of improvisers, and we've had musicians. We've had regular civilians that we like.
Now, name some of your favorite guests who have been on there. Who were some that surprised you with their analysis of the show?
Well, one of our early guests was Wendy Liebman. Yeah. And she came on and did the show and was fantastic. I think she was like on a really early episode, like maybe 6 or 7. And she was great. She actually recommended us to other people.
Nice.
Like another guest we had on was Ron Vai.
Yeah.
Basically, he's a comedian out of San Francisco, and he's like a super fan. And he was fantastic, and we're going to have him back on again.
Where do you guys record?
In my house.
You do it at your place?
Pretty
there?
Much, yeah. We've
nice.
We've had a few. I have like a back bedroom we record in, and then we've done it at Anthony's house. We've done it in hotel rooms, I think.
Where are you going to be doing some this coming weekend at the festival?
Yeah, we're actually doing a live episode.
Oh, that's right. You are.
Yeah.
Plug that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I did see
yeah.
that.
We're doing a live episode. It's
so
going to be.
I don't do my homework very well.
Oh, you're fine. There's a lot of shows in this festival.
Yeah.
So it's 1:30 Sunday at the Renaissance.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's fun. Who's going to be on it?
Chris True and Ever Menard.
I know the names.
Chris True is he's an improviser and stand-up out of New Orleans in Austin. He's involved with the New Movement. He's really, really funny. Good dude. And Ever Menard is a storyteller and a comic out of LA, and she's amazing.
Nice. Well, I think we got it. Anything
okay.
you want to hit on specifics on the festival?
Basically, all of our ticket information is on our website, as we said, which is birdcitycomedyfestival.com. But you could also purchase tickets the day of. And so,
and you have a full festival pass as well. That
mm-hmm. yes, we have a full festival pass for $50,
yeah,
and that gets you
nothing. I remember looking at that. It's a lot of entertainment for very little money.
Yes,
nice.
Yeah, maybe underpriced.
Yeah, all right. That's note to self for next year. What is that price?
Yeah, we also have individual day passes. Friday is $15. Saturday and Sunday are both $25 each.
Nice, very nice. Well. Genevieve Rice, thank you so much for sitting down with me and talking BirdCityComedyFestival.com with this coming weekend, April mm-hmm. 8th, 9th, and 10th. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to getting my laugh on. Thank you.
Great.
Oh, when everybody's heard about the bird. Pop up, meow, 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 pop up, meow, 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 pop up, meow, meow, pop up, meow, meow, pop up, meow, meow.